new president.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but as a battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Mike McNulty. But before I got started, I was just listening to a Christian radio station. In fact, it's my own Christian radio station that we own a significant part of. And basically, I was hearing the Christian news, and they had somebody on who said, we may not like the Obamacare health bill, but after all, Congress passed it, and the president signed it, and the Supreme Court upheld it, so it's the law of the land. And I'd like to suggest, ladies and gentlemen, this was a typical political ploy. It was put through by a corrupt Congress, by a corrupt executive system, and passed certainly by a corrupt Supreme Court. Justice Roberts, who probably is homosexual, was it a swing vote on that? And whatever they had something on him. He came up with an explanation that had no basis at all. And the fact that on a Christian news program, they would be pushing this sort of thing. Oh, we just go back and accept the socialized medical system that's going to have death panels on it to start killing the elderly. Shame on the Christian broadcasters that do this sort of thing, because they've infiltrated the Christian networks all across America, and you better start recognizing that. But I don't want to get off on that. We have with us a very, very special guest, a good friend, and it's Mike McNulty. And we're going to be talking about what really happened at Waco. That was 18 years ago. But ladies and gentlemen, you've never been told the truth about what really happened, because they killed those 20 people with a bullet in the back of the head. They all committed suicide by putting a bullet in their back of the head. And if you really believe the Davidians all committed suicide, you're incredibly naive. Go right ahead, Mike. It's good to have you with us.
Good evening. How are you, Dr. Stan?
I'm doing fine. I want you to tell us, I understand you're going to bring back that second of your films, Waco, A New Revelation, which was so vitally important. You pick up the story. Tell us what you've learned, certainly in the intervening years.
Well, actually, February the 28th will be 20 years ago. 20 years ago. That the Branch Davidians' home and church was raided by the BATF.
20 years? I thought it was 95.
No, sir, 1993.
Okay, go right ahead then.
I guess...
You're absolutely right, of course. It was 95, of course, was the...
Stanley, you haven't been counting years lately. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what happens when we get as old as...
Basically, of course, Mike was on the front lines of trying to bring out the truth 20 years ago, and he's still trying to bring it out. And if the American people ever understood that the murderers of those Branch Davidians have never been prosecuted, they were murdered, ladies and gentlemen. They did not commit suicide. Go right ahead.
I think the first question would be, it's been 20 years. Why are you re-releasing Waco, A New Revelation? And the FLIR project. There's going to be a two-video set, by the way. And I'll tell you more about the ins and outs of ordering a cassette and so on and so forth. But I think the most important reason is that quite often we get so tangled up in the details of what happened at Waco, and they are complex, and there's a lot of things that went on, and some of the things that Dr. Stan just mentioned. But The important thing to remember is that it all started because of a gun control law.
Well, sort of a...
bumper music.
Go right ahead. Okay, well, hold on. We'll be back here in just a moment with Mike McJolder. We're talking about Waco, A New Revelation.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
McNulty, and he's talking about what happened almost 20 years ago now at Waco. That time has gone so quickly, I really didn't realize it was that long ago, because I just got started doing talk radio when actually we had this Waco incident, and I had the opportunity of talking to so many of the Davidians, and certainly really came up and really understood what had happened there, and was firmly convinced I could, in a court of law, I could prove that the government spent in a Delta team, and they shot in the back of the head 20 of the Davidians, and they killed them. Now, of course, they also killed the 17 little children. They dropped explosives into the silo there, and they blew up the children, the women and the children. But, of course, we could never let the American people know what had happened, so they consistently lied and lied, and they tried the Davidians. And yet, of course, I talked to the woman who headed the jury at that time, and she told me, after hearing the case, that the wrong people were on trial. They did not want to do anything to the Davidians. They were ordered by the judge to come up with some sort of a guilty assertion against some of them, and then so he could throw the book at them. Well, it was all a setup, ladies and gentlemen. They could never let the American people realize that they murdered the Branch Davidians and they killed the little children. But we never talk about that anymore, do we? Go ahead, Mike.
Well, Dr. Stan, I think the point I'm trying to make this evening is very simple. There were a lot of things that went on there. And as Dr. Stan said, not a single federal agent was held responsible. Some people might be interested to know that that there was an investigation conducted into the activities of the federal agents, both the BATF and the FBI, during the period, the 51 days from February 28th to April 19th, 1993. Those investigations were about to culminate in a indictment of these agents. And that investigation was conducted by the Texas Rangers. Unfortunately, the investigation was discovered by people in the White House. And on one fine day in Texas, the phone call was made from the White House, and I am told by the First Lady, to Governor Ann Richards, who received the call and the orders from Mrs. Clinton to have the Texas Rangers stand down on their investigation.
Because they could never let the people of Texas or America realize who was really responsible for killing those kids.
Well, that's probably a fair statement. And by the way, it wasn't 17, it was 27.
Was it 27 children?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
The problem is not so much in the details anymore. I need people to understand. They need to see the film, Waco, A New Revelation, and understand how the government will behave given certain circumstances relative to the enforcement of gun control if people resist or refuse to comply with any new gun control legislation like an assault weapons ban, I fear that there could be some bloodshed. And in an article that I am completing for my blog, which will be found by the end of the week, the latest installment that I'm referring to, at copsproductions.com, they will be able to read about concerns that I have and some suggestions on how things might be handled differently so as to avoid bloodshed.
All right. I think it's so important, though, that people really understand what happened. I really want you to tell them because basically the media being controlled, why, of course, the average American has never heard what is on that DVD. You have actually two ex-fellows from Special Forces, both who told the same story. And that is the fact that they sent in a secret Delta Force unit, and their idea was to kill the people. And they did kill them, and they burned down the building. Basically, everything we've been told is a lie. And certainly I've confirmed this from my own sources, that there is no question that the Davidians, those, I think there were, 20, 21 bodies or something like that, all with bullet holes in the back of the head? You know the details much better than I do. Tell us.
I could tell you, you know, precisely when that team of Delta Force operators was put into the building. You can watch it in the film. If you had X-ray vision, you could see them inside of the demolition vehicle that drove into the interior of the building. And the tank went inside, dropped off this demolition team is basically what it was, and they entered into the from below through the floor of the second story into the tower, the four-story tower, and I suspect that's where they encountered a group of Branch Davidians in that tower, and they were eliminated.
How were they eliminated? That's what I wanted to know.
Well, they.
Because basically they didn't have a lot of bullet holes in them. The holes were in their
head. According to our sources, they were shot with some rather special 45 automatics right. That Delta Force operators tend to use. They're smooth bores. There's no lands and grooves. The bullets had no identifying lands and grooves on them. And according to the autopsy reports and the other sources of information that we had, apparently they were killed execution style. I don't know.
They were by execution, you mean they were shot in the head?
I'm sorry?
By execution style, you mean they were shot in the head?
Yes.
Okay. So, certainly were they shot in the front or the back?
Well, that's the information we gathered from the autopsy reports.
And so what did we learn?
We didn't have eyewitnesses that came forward and talked about that.
But what do we have from the autopsy reports? What do the autopsy reports say about the bullet wounds in the head?
Well, interestingly enough, in just about every case of a Branch Davidian that died by gunfire, of which I think there was something on the order of 20 or 21 people, there were no bullets recovered that could be matched with weapons, which I thought was rather fascinating. Where did the bullets go? They were made of lead. Did they melt in the fire? No. I have no idea. I can't explain that. There's a lot of things I can't explain, but there are quite a few that I can. I think the issue becomes one of, in the Branch Davidian trial, the civil trial, it was clarified that there were 14 operators from the Combat Applications Group, Fort Bragg, North Carolina, that were operative at Waco on April the 19th. From our source that appears in Waco, A New Revelation, Staff Sergeant Stephen Barrett, who was the sniper trainer for Delta Force, went and talked with these people, and he confirmed that they were forward deployed pulling triggers. And we had the second confirmation come from a member of, he was a CIA officer. And he states, too, that he met with the members of Delta Force that went to Waco. He met them overseas in October of 1993. And interestingly enough, that was the group, including then Colonel, now General, Lieutenant General Gerald Boykin, who was their leader at Waco, met with them, and they confirmed to him that they had been forward deployed and involved in a gunfight with Branch Davidians. So, you know, all of this good stuff of, oh, no, 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 they were just there as observers. Eh, it's just a bunch of garbage. As to specific details, I cannot say that I have any reports from Delta Force operators that they did assassinate some of the Branch Davidians in that tower over the top of the roof of the bunker. You have to ask, why were they there then? Well, they weren't there just to eliminate Branch Davidians on the roof of the bunker. They had an objective, and that was to place a breaching charge on the roof of the bunker. Because, according to the military plan written by Gerald Boykin, he advised that if it was a military operation, in quotes, with a nod and a wink, they would simply use the old process of cutting the head off the snake, that they would kill Koresh and his lieutenants if they could be isolated, and the other Davidians would simply come out once they found that Koresh and the lieutenants were dead. And that's how military operations are done. You kill the leader. Well, during the course of the morning, the Branch Davidians were overheard by what were called overhears devices that were placed in the building by a Delta Force operator the night before. And they heard David Koresh and Stephen Schneider, and I've listened to the tapes, and you can hear Koresh tell Schneider that the air was clear in the bunker, in the so-called bunker, which was actually a church vault. It was clear of CS gas. They had their masks off, and you could understand what they were saying. Well, what government doesn't provide us with is an answer of why they moved forward, because at that point, Koresh and Schneider went upstairs, according to Branch Davidians I've interviewed, and recovered the children and the women and put them down in the bunker for protection because there was no gas down there. And so they put them in the bunker. Unfortunately, as the last of the children went in the door of the bunker to hunker down, you pick up an FBI 402 report, and you read about the driver of the tank that smashes through the wall and drives right up to the door of the bunker and inserts a full bottle of gas into the bunker just as the last children. He said he saw little Davidians running, that's what he called them, little Davidians running into the bunker as he approached through the wall. Well, that same guy approached later and will tell you right after this break what he did next.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's important, ladies and gentlemen, that you know that they killed those people. I personally have other information. We'll talk perhaps later, but there's only a talk to Clive Doyle's mother. Now, Clive Doyle is the current leader of the Davidians, and I talked to his mother. It's well, I guess almost 20 years ago, because this was shortly after the murders. And what she told me was incredible, that she and another woman had been called by a gentleman who said, "I will never tell you my name, I won't tell you there, but I know your son's in there." And basically, of course, they lined them up, they brought the Davidians out the back, they lined them up, they shot him in the back of the head. "I saw it, but I'll never tell you who I am."
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
We'll be right back. And Sydney, Mike is telling us, how did this all start? So the BATA came with their SWAT team. Instead of knocking on the door, they came with a SWAT team. Actually, David Koresh invited them to come. He said, "I'll let you come in anytime you want to." They didn't want to. They wanted an incident. This was all to be choreographed. The cameras were rolling. The BATA comes out of the front door, and Mike says that they finally came out. The truth finally came out about what really happened. So what really happened? The BATA knocked at the door, and what happened?
Well, they didn't get a chance to knock at the door. The BATF was approaching the front door. There was a group of agents, including some female agents, with fire extinguishers, CO2 fire extinguishers. The Branch Davidians had 8 or 9, maybe 10, young Malamute dogs. You know what a Malamute is. It looks like an Alaskan Husky. And they were 1.5, 2 years old. And they were pretty good guards there at the front door. So with all the ruckus starting, David Koresh came out through the front door, both hands empty, raised his hands and said, "Wait, there's women and children inside. Let's talk." At that point, Agent Ballesteros, who was testifying, said that the dogs became more agitated. They weren't responding to use of the CO2 so that they could move the dogs aside to get to the front door. Wouldn't have mattered anyway because they didn't bring the warrant with them. It's left on the dashboard of the pickup truck towing one of the trailers. But that was their objective. And they got to that point. Agent Ballesteros drew his sidearm and started shooting the dogs. Now, you've got 145 people inside, many of them with arms. They knew the government was coming because the postal carrier that the media talked to and warned him about staying away from Mount Carmel because there was going to be a big raid happened to have been a Davidian. He went back and told Koresh, and the agent that was inside talking to David Koresh at that particular moment witnessed this telling of David that the BATF was on its way. David looked at the guy and said, "You better go. You better go back to your people and let them know." And so he did. And he went outside. He made a phone call, told the agent in charge that they knew you were coming. There is no element of surprise. And that agent made a decision to go anyway. So Agent Ballesteros is standing there with 100 heavily armed ATF agents standing with him around, spread around the outside of the building.
And he starts shooting the dogs.
And he starts shooting the dogs. What do you think is going to happen when he shoots that first round? Uh-huh. Gunfight. All the people inside, they can't see what's going on. They don't know. People around the building aren't in radio communication with one another. They don't know what's going on. They hear shots. That's it. Game on. The gunfight started because Agent Ballesteros felt threatened by the dogs and had to shoot him.
But then, of course, then they shot Koresh, didn't they, standing out in front?
Just about immediately after that first shot, David Koresh was shot. He was hit in the wrist and then hit in the stomach, in the side of the stomach.
He was an unarmed man, and they shot him.
Well, yes, and so was David's father-in-law, who was standing just inside the door, and he was hit by bullets that came through the door.
Okay, so, now, basically, who won the lawsuit when the Davidians sued the government?
Well, let me answer it this way. The judge in the case happens to be Judge Walters. So what do you think the outcome was?
Oh, in other words, basically, they did not have an impartial judge. They had a crooked judge because he did not allow a fair trial. I mean, I talked to the woman who headed the jury. Was he the judge who heard the trial?
Judge Walter Smith heard both the criminal trial of the Branch Davidians and the civil trial.
Well, yes. The woman who actually headed the jury told me they thought the wrong people were on trial. They did not want to convict any of the Davidians. They were ordered by the judge to come up with some sort of a charge against them, some minor charge. That's all it was. And, of course, then he expanded on it. He was not an honest man. Shame on him.
Well, he still sits as the presiding judge of that court.
Well, we have real problems in America today because we have a corrupt judicial system. We have some good judges, not to say we don't, but we have some crooked ones. And, of course, they're a fraternity and they look after one another. That's the unfortunate thing. Go right ahead.
Well, I think the most important lesson to be learned from that story that I just told. Well, we'll wait after this break to tell you what that is.
Go right ahead. I'll tell you when to stop.
Okay. Well, I hear music, and I automatically assume.
Go ahead. Go ahead. What are we going to say?
Excuse me. Oh, dear. Well, people have to understand, if this legislation about assault weapons is passed and people begin to resist, which has already started in the state of New York, they have to understand that once the police officers or federal agents show up at your front door, your choices have become very limited.
Okay, fine. Hold. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Okay.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Mike McNulty, and I knew Mike 20 years ago. He was actually working on the story then. He put out the first good DVD on what happened, and then he put out the follow-up one, which is the one we're going to be offering before long. It's called Waco, A New Revelation, and we will carry that. We think it's important, and there's actually another DVD with it on the FLIR project. Mike, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get to your website and get your information, but we will actually carry that DVD because we think it's vitally important.
Sure. Basically, I would recommend to any of the listeners, whether they're gun owners or not, that they go to COPS, you know, the usual http://www, COPS Productions. COPSPRODUCTIONS, copsproductions.com. And that is my blog site. The next entry will be the 6.0 entry in the blog, and it will be out no later than Friday, which is the last day of January. And all the information about why we're doing this, how it relates to today's current situation, and so on and so forth, will be contained in that new blog. And at the very end of the blog will be details on how to obtain the film. And essentially what we're going to have you do is send me an email to a special address requesting the DVDs. And that special address is COPS Films, COPSFILMS, at gmail.com. And you'd provide me with some information about how to contact you relative to, I'll have your email address and your physical mailing address and information like that. The price, $14.99 plus $6 shipping and handling, will get you the two DVD set. And we'll be sending that out priority mail. And that'll be starting Friday, February the 1st. We will be asking you to pay through PayPal. That allow you to use credit cards or debit cards, or if you so choose, we'll accept money orders and we'll provide you with a mailing address, which will be at the end of the site. So you can do it either way. I think, again, the most important thing we can do is understand what happened at Waco and that it should never happen again. But it's going to be up to each of us to make sure that it doesn't, and to call for justice for the Branch Davidians. You have to understand something, folks. There's no statute of limitations on homicide.
And of course, the government homicide. Agents kill those people. There's no question in my mind that they killed them. Is there any question
in
your mind?
I think, very simply, I like the way the gentleman by the name of Ferris Rookstuhl, who was an FBI agent who gathered the evidence, he handled the bodies after the fire. And he put it very well at the beginning of the film that there, you know, this was out and out a homicide, and somebody committed murder. To accuse somebody of murder, you have to have some pretty good evidence. And I think that if these people that were involved were investigated and prosecuted in a court of law, I would agree with you, Dr. Stan. I think there's plenty enough evidence to get convictions on the part of a number of different people, not the least of which was the President of the United States at the time and his dear wife.
And because that's the thing, they cannot let this come out. He ordered this, and they ordered, of course, I think that it was the Attorney General at that time, John Reno, who said, oh, no, I'm responsible. But certainly she couldn't have done it without the President.
Reno was, you know, in the spy business, there's a thing called a cutout.
Right.
And sort of a fall guy.
But they killed the children. I mean, there's no question.
Well, they blew the children up.
Would you explain how they blew the children up? How did they blow them? And the women, remember, the women and children were all in this tower. Go ahead.
Well, they were in the bunker at the base of the tower. And at a certain point in the morning, somewhere around 10:30 or so, the tank drove in after having gone back over to the location where they got their CS gas tanks recharged and picked up additional personnel, I might add. They came back, and interestingly enough, every time they had gone in to add more CS gas, the turret would be reversed. There's a boom or a crane hanging off the back of the turret, and they would have the turret reversed with the crane facing forward. That is where the CS gas bottles were hung. And they would go in and pull strings and basically open up the jets on these compressed bottles and put in more CS gas. Well, this time the boom was facing backwards and the gun on the turret was facing forwards. Well, there's an interesting phenomenon about that particular model, the M60 patent tank. When the turret is facing forward, there's additional room in the area where the turret and the chassis of the tank come together. And you can get three or four more bodies in there, in that turret area, standing up, not real comfortable, but viable. And that's the point at which the tank drove into the building with the turret facing forward. You have to keep in mind that the top of the turret was essentially a little taller than the base of the floor on the second story that went over the top of the bunker. And they went in, tore out the flooring, and were then able to access through the commander's cupola and the loader's hatch at the top of the turret, that area above the roof of the bunker. At that point, those men, I believe they were Delta Force operators with some shape charges, they placed a shape charge on the top, a breaching charge, on the top of the concrete bunker, 9-10 inches thick steel reinforced concrete, and placed that charge directly over the top of the roof of the bunker. Now, that was under the assumption that David Koresh and his lieutenants were still inside. They were about to attempt to cut the head off the snake. And during the course of the early onset of the fire, within the first 9 or 10 minutes of the fire, a detonation occurred on a 100-gallon propane tank that was stored outside of the bunker in a courtyard. And the top of that 100-gallon tank was cut like it was cut with a knife. But interestingly enough, when it released the propane gas into the atmosphere, before it ignited, you could see, if you watch carefully, and we did, and we slowed it down and show it in Waco New Revelation, you can see the detonation of a high explosive that in turn ignited the released propane gas that escaped from the open bottle. And that covered the high explosive detonation on the roof of the bunker. When that thing went off, it blew a hole about 20, 22 inches across, a nice round shape with beveled edges blown down inside into the interior. And in the photos that we show you in the film and on the website, you can see that the rebar is blown down and in. Jack Danforth claimed that was some of the Branch Davidians' homemade smokeless powder hand grenades that had detonated on the roof. Well, you could detonate 1,000 of those grenades, one after the other, all at one time if you can figure out how to do it, on the roof of that bunker, and it wouldn't have blown a hole like that. It was caused by a shape charge that was developed during World War II for penetrating German bunkers and Japanese bunkers. That explosive went off, and when it did, it put forth a jet of plasma into that room, and the overpressure of the explosion killed everybody in the room. And
is that where the 27 children were?
Unfortunately, the children were in a circle of mothers directly under the blast hole.
And so they killed the mothers and the children. But they couldn't.
With the explosive, yes.
Right, but they couldn't let the American people know that. I mean, everything went wrong. And I mean, basically, this would have gone right to the president, and all those little children, innocent little children, killed, slaughtered.
Well, the president ordered Delta Force to go to Waco to end the siege.
And basically, is that the Delta Force that eventually went to Somalia and were involved in Black Hawk Down?
That's where our CIA operative caught up with them, was in Somalia. Interestingly enough, several of the Delta Force operators were killed in the famous incident known as Black Hawk Down.
And of course, ladies and gentlemen, if this happens so often to people who commit these activities, you know, black operations for the government, why they certainly shortly after that get killed themselves. Isn't that interesting?
Well, you know, Stanley, time is a wonderful thing.
Right.
It allows all kinds of things to happen. And if you're patient and watch, you'll be able to see what's going on. And I find it just tremendously fascinating that our friend Jerry Boykin, now Lieutenant General retired Jerry Boykin, when he got back from Somalia, he had some emotional problems and was put into treatment for, I understand, about a year to a year and a half. In a hospital near Washington, D.C. He went on to command the Delta Force operations. He became a general, a brigadier, and then on to a two-star general. And he got himself in some trouble. It seems he couldn't keep his mouth shut when it came to what we were doing in Iraq at the time. And you'll recall he appeared in uniform at several different churches and was essentially saying things he shouldn't have been saying while standing there in uniform about how we should conduct the war. Basically what he did wrong was he countered what the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, was saying. Now, that was Mr. Obama. But he got into trouble for that and was forced into retirement early. But they generally what they do to generals when they do that is they strip them of their rank and their privileges and all kinds of stuff. That didn't happen to Jerry Boykin. So now we find General Boykin as a commentator on Fox News, telling us all about things that are near and dear to our hearts as conservatives. And as a conservative spokesman, I saw him today, or yesterday perhaps it was, I guess it was today, on one of the news programs talking about the new rule allowing women into combat. And, you know, I mean, I'm just utterly amazed. I'd love to sit down and have a heart-to-heart with Jerry and see what he had to say about his experiences at Waco. I don't know that he'd tell me the truth. I would hope so, but I sort of doubt it.
Well, is there any question in your mind that, that the Delta Force killed the Davidians?
Well, I think the question in my mind has to do with which of the FBI hostage rescue team and which of the Delta Force operators were complicit in the murders and deaths of these branch Davidians.
No, who are the, you meant there are two forces in there or just one?
Nope. My opinion is that the FBI hostage rescue team was also forward deployed and had engaged in a gunfight with the branch Davidians on April the 19th before the fire started. And that's in the film. And matter of fact, we show you some video made by the Texas Rangers showing not only the FBI hostage rescue team members, but members of Delta Force mixed in with them. And you can tell the difference by virtue of the type of guns that they were carrying. Delta Force was carrying their traditional entry weapons, which were at that time Heckler & Koch MP5 submachine guns with suppressors. And if I remember right, they were either 9mm or 45. They had both. So if you look carefully at what type of weapons these men were carrying as they stood in the ashes of Waco, commiserating with one another about what a great job they'd done, you can tell who the players are. And that's in Waco, A New Revelation.
Well, I think it's important, ladies and gentlemen, that they have lied to us consistently about what happened, because, of course, it would reflect on the woman who today is the Secretary of State and her husband, who is the ex-president of the United States. But they these people have no soul. I mean, they know what happened. They could at least say they were sorry. It didn't intend to come out that way, but they had to lie. And, Sydney, it's fascinating when you see this film and you see the FBI agent in charge saying, this is a murder investigation that's still open. This is a murder investigation that's still open. This is a murder investigation. They murdered the Davidians, and they murdered the little children and all of their mothers, too. But we never talk about those little children, do we? Go right ahead.
Well, Stan, you have a way of winding things up. I think the story of Waco is an unfulfilled story. To end properly and happily, the people that were responsible, from President Clinton on down through the FBI and BATF agents that did what they did, and the Delta Force operators, need to be held accountable. Otherwise, ultimately, they can get away with anything. And I think that's where we're at today. Is the question, will there be more Wacos? And if so, how will people respond? I hope not, but the way things are going, it won't surprise me in the least if we have more Wacos because FBI agents and ATF agents and members of the military service do not remember their oaths that they swore to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, including their own bosses, if they're given illegal orders.
And, of course, a soldier has a moral responsibility to disobey an order.
So does a law enforcement officer, right? For that matter.
And you may get into trouble for it, but you have to do what's right, and then you have to try to bring it out afterwards, certainly. But
yep.
to kill innocent civilians, to kill innocent children and women, and they say, oh, we didn't know they were down there. Well, then admit it. But they can't do that. They cannot ever let the people know the truth, and you'll see the truth. And this is one of the greatest films, and a reason, of course, somebody had called me recently, and I thought we still carried it, and I was just so glad to find out that suddenly that Mike was bringing this film back out. It's called Waco, A New Revelation. And then there's another film after that that sort of put together the FLIR project in an effort to sort of let people understand that the government explanation for what happened just isn't true. Everything has to be cover-up. Lie, lie, lie. Never let the American people know the truth. Tell the lie often enough, people will come to believe it. Mike, we've got about a minute here, more on the in this segment of the problem, the program. Go right ahead.
Oh. Well, the FLIR project, let's talk about that one for a minute.
Right.
Waco, A New Revelation, I think, is I rewatched the film the other day and hadn't watched it for some years. And there's a point at which Clive Doyle, one of the surviving Davidians, I ask him, well, do you think this will be the end of all of this business between the government and the people regarding guns and religion? And he said, no, I think we were just the first. So, and that statement was made a number of years ago.
And because I talked to Clive's mother, I talked to Clive. In fact, we have a 4-tape set where you can actually hear my interview with Clive Doyle. We'll be back in just a moment here to wrap up tonight's program.
You already know that calcium is important. But did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact. And the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050. JigsawMagnesium.com.
What has happened to the judicial system in these United States? From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we've seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. The judicial system was designed to ensure that the laws of the land were just and constrained by our Constitution. Now judges have immunity and cannot be prosecuted when they act outside the law. This must stop. The judicial branch needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. At that website, you can find out what's really going on in this area of lawlessness, and more importantly, you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. JudicialReformNow.com. JudicialReformNow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Mike McNulty. And basically, let me tell you what I personally know. When they were having the congressional hearings on the incident at Waco, I actually tracked down Clive Doyle's mother. And Clive Doyle is the man who leads the Davidians today. And Mrs. Doyle told me that the day of the attack or the day after the attack, I don't really recall which, but she was in a trailer with the mother of another young man who was in the compound, and the telephone rang, and there was some fellow called, and he said, "Look, I want to tell you what really happened at Waco." He said, "I was behind with a telescope. I was watching what happened. I will not tell you who I am. I will never say this to anybody else again. But I want you to know what happened." He said, "I was watching. They marched 20 Davidians out the back, had them stand there with a blindfold on, and then they systematically shot them each in the back of the head. And then they dragged them back inside." He said, "I fear for my life. I will never tell anybody else." So I recorded that. I sent a copy of the recording to Bob Barr for the congressional hearings. Of course, we never heard back. I'm sure it's been totally ignored. But certainly, doing what I do, I get the opportunity sometimes to get amazing stories. Well, we're going to be offering DVD and the two DVDs to my ministry. If you want to get them, you can call our 800 number. They don't know yet, but we can get back in touch with you. It's an important DVD. It's called Waco, A New Revelation. There's another DVD along with it, and we're going to have to charge a little bit more than Mike would. You can get it from Mike, you can get it from us. And then we have a 4-tape set on Waco, what happened. And you'll hear my interviews with Clive Doyle. You'll hear my interview with a woman who led the jury. And she told me the wrong people were on trial. The wrong people were on trial. They did not want to convict the Davidians. They heard the story. They heard everything the government said. And they felt the government was responsible. And the judge insisted that they come up with some little criticism, demanded that they do that. And they foolishly listened to the judge, who then sent many of them to prison for 40 or 50 years for simply defending their women and children. The government was out to kill them. The government did kill them. And basically, the fact that this has been covered up all this time is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Order the 4-tape set on Waco. Waco, and of course, you certainly want to get the DVD, Waco, A New Revelation. And it's one of the finest DVDs I've ever seen. And of course, really, it's almost poetic, the justice. So the Delta Team people, the ones who killed the women and the children, the Delta Form Team that assassinated the France Davidians, they were sent over to Somalia. And many of them perished in Black Hawk Down episode. God has a sense of humor, a rather macabre sense of humor. Or maybe simply Bill Clinton wanted to get rid of them. After all, they couldn't leave those people around. They could never allow them to talk. I don't know what happened to this one fellow from the Special Forces that you'll actually see on this DVD, or the CIA agent. Took a lot of courage to appear on this, because believe me, ladies and gentlemen, they kill people today. They killed President Kennedy. They killed Martin Luther King. They killed Bobby Kennedy. They killed Malcolm X. I can give you the names of three or four of the people I've interviewed through the years that they've killed. Certainly Gary Webb, who actually wrote about the CIA and drugs. He committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice to make sure he was dead. This is not imaginary. I mean, the people throughout the world, whether it be Patrice Lumumba in Africa or Trujillo in the Dominican Republic, they have assassin teams go throughout the world killing people. We have a 4-CD set called Deadly Assassins, where you'll actually hear my interviews with two American assassins. One of them is dead, the other has disappeared. And then, of course, we interview the man who tracked down the assassin who was paid to kill General Patton. And we carry the book of Patton, and of course, we carry the CD set on Deadly Assassins. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com, where you can hear our programs 24 hours a day. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
For a land so fair.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for this hour, they're going to be the views of Tom Elias, who's an investigative reporter, and if you certainly his articles appear in newspapers across California and elsewhere across the country, and Tom is a very good reporter. And we're going to be talking about cancer. We're going to be talking about a treatment for cancer that is being actively suppressed today. Now, basically, we know that 100 years ago, probably 1 in 50 to 80 people got cancer and died of it. Today, it's 1 in two men gets cancer, 1 in 3 women get cancer. Why the explosion in the incidence of cancer? Well, that's beyond what we're going to be talking about today, but I would simply ask that. And if you want to know the answer to it, you could certainly get our 4-CD set on why do we still have cancer? And we have a number of DVDs, pardon me, tape sets on cancer and treatments for cancer. But we have, of course, a 4-tape set on Dr. Brzezinski. We carry the book, The Brzezinski Breakthrough, which Tom Elias wrote. Who is Dr. Stanislaus Brzezinski? Well, I'm going to let Tom tell you about him, but he is a man who has an effective treatment for cancer. His results are so much far better than that of conventional medicine that they tried to send him to jail for 230 years, I think maybe Tom said it was 290 years, doesn't matter. Well, they wanted to send him to prison for 290 or 230 years. They wanted to send him to prison, and what was his crime? Well, he had a treatment that worked. Well, it was really because somebody sent his material, his medicines across state boundaries, and that was a terrible crime, despite the fact he was saving lives and hundreds of lives that would have been lost. Otherwise, people had gone to traditional doctors, had been given up, and he saved their lives. Has amazing statistics on many cancers, cancer of the pancreas. I've had so many friends die of that terrible disease, and yet, of course, I think the survival rate, and Tom will correct me, I'm sure, if I'm wrong, but somewhere around 40%, nobody can parallel what Dr. Brzezinski has done, and he was targeted by the government. They wanted to send him to prison for the rest of his life. Fortunately, we have to understand when you go before a federal prison, before you go before a federal a judge and stand trial in a federal court, the conviction rate's over 97%. You don't stand a chance. They will threaten you. You either plead guilty or we're going to send you to prison for 50 or 100 years. This is what happens in our courts today. Well, Dr. Brzezinski had the courage to go into the court knowing all the odds were against him. And he won not once but twice. You're never going to hear this discussed on 2020 or on 60 Minutes or 48 Hours because, of course, they don't want you to know the truth. There are effective treatments, and they're being actively suppressed. Go right ahead, Tom.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight, as always. And I'm actually back with you tonight because Dr. Brzezinski has won yet another battle against the establishment. But you asked me to tell you who he is first. And then we'll get into the latest battle, his latest victory that Dr. Brzezinski has won. This man, Stanislaw Brzezinski, came to America from Poland in 1969. And he had, while a medical student in Lublin, discovered certain compounds, peptides, combinations of amino acids that occur naturally in the blood of healthy people and are pretty much absent from the blood of cancer victims. And he theorized that if he could reinfuse these into the blood of the cancer victims, he might have some luck getting rid of cancer. And that's how it's turned out.
Of course, when he came to America, he began doing studies on this. And of course, he was actually found he was saving lives of people with incurable cancer. And that, of course, you'd think that would be applauded, but you're not going to hear about it on 2020.
Well, actually, Dr. Brzezinski did research for was about 7 years on his treatment at Baylor University College of Medicine, where he was an associate professor and where he was on the team of the great heart transplant surgeon, Dr. Michael DeBakey, basically one of the progenitors of organ transplants in America and the world. What Dr. Buczynski discovered in working in the lab at Baylor was that his compounds that he had discovered and which he was now synthesizing in a plant in a suburb of Houston, that these things put into remission in the test tube more than half of the cancers that they encountered. In other words, more than half of the cancers that they tested them against of all various types and various strains. And he was told that it would take 10 to 15 years to get this drug into a place where you could use it on people through the medical establishment route. And so he decided to take advantage of a Texas law which was on the books at that time, but has been no longer Texas law since the mid-1980s. But back in the late 1970s, when this occurred, Texas law permitted any doctor that thought that a treatment would benefit his patient to use that treatment on human beings, as long as the patients were well informed on what it was and what the risk might be and what the legal status of the drug was. And so he opened a clinic in Houston. He left Baylor. He left the establishment medicine and went out on his own. And lo and behold, what happened in the test tube also happened in the human being. It turns out that the compounds that Dr. Buczynski discovered, which he calls antineoplastins, were successful in putting into remission or at least reducing the size of tumors in 65% of the cancers they encountered. Now, this has genetic reasons, which I can explain a little later, but the upshot is that after he had been doing this for about 2 years, the medical establishment in Houston heard about it, and the Harris County Medical Society went to the Food and Drug Administration and complained. They went to the Texas Medical Board and complained, and before
hold
long,
that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Dr. Buczynski had spent 7 years at Baylor University working under the auspices of Dr. DeBakey there. But basically, he had done a lot of laboratory work using these polypeptides. And certainly in tissue cultures, why, of course, about at least half of the cancers, routine cancers, responded in the test tubes. And of course, when they had exposed to these peptides, the cancer cells died. So Dr. Buczynski went out into practice, and there was a law in Texas at that time that basically if a doctor thought something was beneficial, he could go ahead and try it and do it. So Dr. Buczynski started treating people with cancer, and certainly people responded just like the cancer in the test tubes, and they started getting better, at least a significant number of them. But after a couple of years, of course, information got out. The local medical society and other medical organizations went to the FDA and other organizations to complain that Dr. Buczynski was treating cancer patients. Most of them were incurable cancer patients, written off by the doctors, sent home to die. Not all of them, but most of them were. And he was curing them. Well, my goodness, of course, if he can do that, why? Well, what a terrible thing. They're not going to get routine treatment of radiation and chemotherapy. And I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, radiation and chemotherapy, if you look at the five-year statistics, really don't help that much. And they know that. But they've got to do something. And then, of course, there really is a cancer industry out there. And the last thing that they would want would be an effective treatment. Why? Why? Because it would destroy the cancer industry. You're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars that go into cancer every single year. And what would happen to the medicine if you could treat these things very, very simply? Go right ahead.
I will indeed, Dr. Stan. Well, what happened was that not only did the Food and Drug Administration begin acting against Dr. Brzezinski, they took him to court. They attempted to shut down his clinic, and this went on for about 15 years, from about 1980 until about 1995, before they finally got a grand jury to indict him. And then in 1997, he came to trial and was acquitted of all counts against him.
And you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, you got a 97% conviction rate in the federal court. I mean, this is not impartial judges. This is not justice at all. Oh, this is ramrodding. You get into trouble with the federal government, they're going to get you. And if you don't plead it out, they're going to get you, and you'll send you to prison for 150 years. And they were trying to send him to prison for how long?
They were trying to send him to prison, actually, the total prison term he could have served if acquitted of, if convicted of all counts, would have been 300 years.
300 years.
The reason for that is they wanted to get rid of him, because it turned out there was a pharmaceutical company that wanted to pursue these the compounds that Dr. Brzezinski was using. They basically wanted to steal this drug from him, and the federal government was in cahoots with the pharmaceutical company. In fact, the National Cancer Institute, during the 1990s, took out six copycat patents identical to Dr. Brzezinski's, down to the last iota of the chemical drawing. The words in the patents aren't identical, but if you look at the chemical molecular drawings of what the drug is, the illustrations and the descriptions, they're exactly the same. And but the problem is that the pharmaceutical company couldn't run with this drug and therefore pay royalties to the federal government unless the unless Dr. Brzezinski were out of the way. So how do you get him out of the way? You convict him of insurance fraud, you convict him of interstate commerce in an unapproved drug, and you put him away with a 300-year sentence, so he's essentially would be in prison for the rest of his life. And then he can't sue you when you infringe on his patents. That's what the aim was, and because he was acquitted, it failed. But see, now, parallel to the FDA actions against Dr. Brzezinski, the Texas Medical Board was acting. Over the years, and we're now talking over 30 years, over those 30-some years, the Texas Medical Board has filed six different actions against Dr. Brzezinski. Each time, they've threatened to take away his medical license. Each time, he's won. But he hasn't won until after they've offered him what essentially is a plea bargain. They said, you can keep your license, but you shut your clinic. You can keep your license, but you stop using this drug. Brzezinski refused in all cases. And the most recent one of these cases came to a conclusion about 1 month ago. So right now, at least for the moment, Dr. Brzezinski is completely in the clear. In this latest instance, the Texas Medical Board had charged Dr. Brzezinski with providing substandard care to his patients. Now, you have to remember, most of the patients that come to Dr. Brzezinski are desperate. They have failed all the other treatments. Some of them have had multiple courses of chemotherapy, multiple courses of radiation, and they're in terrible shape by the time they get there because of the deleterious side effects of those standard treatments. And so they come to Dr. Brzezinski, and nevertheless, in spite of what terrible shape they're in when they get there, he has, against various types of cancer, his drug has achieved survival rates for 5 years, five-year survival rates of anywhere between 40 and 75%. The differences, the contrast between his treatments and the standard treatments is the most noticeable, the most dramatic, against brain tumors, where the standard treatments are unsuccessful in 99.5% of all cases, whereas Brzezinski is successful with a five-year survival rate, five-year, what termed by the cancer people a five-year cure rate, of about 40% against cancers that normally have a one-half of 1% success rate, which essentially means that against certain brain tumors like glioblastomas and brainstem gliomas and astrocytomas and medulloblastomas. These are almost always fatal brain tumors. But when people get these, and they go to Dr. Brzezinski, 40% of them will live more than 5 years. Now, in this case, one of the patients came to Dr. Brzezinski with a brain tumor. There was this case Texas Medical Board brought involved two patients. One had a glioblastoma brain tumor, and
medulloblastoma, wasn't it?
No. This particular patient had a very rare tumor called a esthesioneuroblastoma. It's only seen. There are only 78 recorded cases of this type of tumor in medical history. But this had metastasized and become stage two of a common type of lung cancer. So, before going to Brzezinski, the patient, who was a 66-year-old woman, came to Brzezinski. She had undergone surgery on the lung tumor, and half of her left lung had been removed, and she had had a partial removal of the esthesioneuroblastoma, which is a very rare brain tumor. And her lung cancer had metastasized to the lymph nodes before any of it had been removed. So there was cancer all over this woman's body. Her doctors had given up on her. They had told her that she would die within 2 years from the lung cancer, no matter what treatment she got. And she went to the Brzezinski clinic, but Dr. Brzezinski was overseas lecturing at a medical meeting at the time she came. So she was treated by the other doctors that worked for Brzezinski in his clinic, and she was put on the antineoplastin drugs, and as a result of her treatment, her brain tumor shrunk by about 50%, and she survived over 6 years. Remember, she had been given only a maximum of 2 years to live. Instead of dying in that 2 years, she lived for six. And yet, after she died, her family complained to the Texas Medical Board about substandard treatment. Now, that's absolutely ludicrous. And that's eventually what the Texas Board
Texas Medical Board.
Now, the Texas Medical Board did not make this ruling. They wanted to continue pursuing the case.
I see.
But it was the Texas Office of Administrative Medicine that overruled the Texas Medical Board. Now, there was another case that was the Texas Medical Board was also pursuing, and this was a woman who had come to Dr. Brzezinski with a triple-negative breast tumor, cancer, with metastases to the brain, the lungs, and the liver. She had been operated on three times. She had received radiation therapy twice and had exhausted any available chemotherapy that could be given to her. Her oncologist from a famous medical school, and in this case that would be the Mayo Clinic, referred her to hospice care because they had nothing further to offer her. So she went to the Brzezinski Clinic, and her condition improved markedly. And she was even able to take a part-time job after just 2 months on this treatment. But after 4 months, she stopped the treatment, and she died 3 months later. And then her husband filed a complaint with the Texas Medical Board. And again, they pursued Dr. Brzezinski for offering substandard care. But he did much better with this woman than the standard treatments did, and she'd probably still be alive today if she hadn't gone off the treatment on her own.
But, of course, basically this whole thing's been heard by a judge who threw all the cases out. Isn't that the case?
That's basically true. It was a panel of three judges
who
threw this out, and that was about a month ago, and right now there are no cases going against Dr. Brzezinski anywhere.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Tom Elias. But ladies and gentlemen, this is an incredible story. Tom, you go right ahead.
Okay. So what's just happened is that the Texas State Office of Administrative Hearing had a panel of three judges that sat on this case, and they tossed the case because it was. They just said there was no substance to it. They said it was there was nothing to this case, and so they just dismissed it. And you have to remember, this case had been going. This particular one had been going for 5 years. These people had bluffed Dr. Brzezinski. They had said, if you don't close your clinic, if you don't stop using the drug, we're going to take away your license. You'll never practice medicine again. And Brzezinski refused to cave in to that kind of pressure and to those kind of threats and pursued this thing to the finish. And of course, if the administrative board administrative hearing board
has
not ruled
like
the way they did,
finding
well,
probabilities
it would have gone on
the standard
and,
normal table.
And pursued it further. But now he's free to move on with his drug. He's free to pursue the phase three multi-center clinical trials that he has permission from the FDA to run. The Food and Drug Administration has already approved the results of the Phase 1 and Phase 2 trials that have been conducted at the Brzezinski Clinic. The Phase 1 trial, you have to remember, is concerned with safety. In other words, this is administered to some patients. Any new drug is administered to some patients. And if it doesn't harm them, it can continue on to Phase 2, where we learn if it's effective at one center. But it's not enough for a drug to be effective at one center in order to be approved. It has to work at more than one place with more than one doctor administering it, so you don't have factors, placebo factor that comes in if somebody likes the doctor and has faith in the doctor. Any treatment that a doctor they really like is going to do better with the patient for reasons of connections between the brain and the body. It will do better than a drug administered by a patient they don't like. So all new drugs, before they're approved in the United States, get tested in more than one place with more than one doctor administering them. So they're really proven. And that's the phase we're at with Dr. Brzezinski. The only problem is it costs a pharmaceutical company usually about $200 million to conduct these multi-center clinical trials because you have to recruit a lot of patients to them. You have to provide all the nursing services. You have to pay the doctors for doing this. You have to pay for all the lab tests and on and on and on, the expenses. Pharmaceutical companies have the money to do that because they're charging a ton of money for the products that they produce. I can tell you about this from personal experience. Last week, I had a treatment in one eye where they actually gave me a shot in one eye, which is aimed to grab some fluid in that eye that was distorting my vision a little bit.
You have macular degeneration?
No, it's not that. It's a blood vessel that was leaking a little fluid.
Okay.
And that's a result 10 years later of some laser treatment I had in this eye. Not LASIK, but some laser treatment that was needed to stop a bleed inside the eye there. Anyway, so that shot, one shot, of a medication developed by Genentech in South San Francisco, that shot cost $6,500. So if you want to know...
Hold the thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Tom is certainly talking about the efforts that have been made, organized, coordinated efforts, to actually shut Dr. Brzezinski down. The last case, which was two charges of two cancer patients he had treated, one of whom was supposed to die within 2 years, lived 6 years. The other one, of course, had stopped the treatment. People there have heard this case to three judges who heard the case and threw it out, saying there is no basis for it. So for the time being, of course, there are no cases against Dr. Brzezinski, but you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, they really want to shut him down. He has an effective treatment, and as difficult as it is to believe this sort of thing, I can tell you I've seen this over and over again with other treatments, but Dr. Brzezinski's story is the most dramatic, and certainly Tom tells it so well, you'll certainly want to read Tom Elias's book, The Brzezinski Breakthrough, and certainly, as I say, we have a four-tape set of my interviews with Dr. Brzezinski and Tom Elias and other people who've been through this, and the extent that they will go to suppress effective cancer treatment should give you some inkling of what's really going on in America today, in free America today. Tom, go right ahead.
Yeah. So what I was saying is that because of the kinds of prices that for instance, I just paid for this treatment on an eye, actually my insurance company paid that, fortunately, the pharmaceutical companies are essentially rolling in money. They're some of the wealthiest companies in America. So for them to have to pay $200 million to conduct a multi-center clinical trial, that's pretty easy. But Brzezinski is in the process of having to raise money to conduct the multi-center trials on his.
And for our listeners, basically these are FDA-approved clinical trials, I think for three or more different diseases, are using his medication. They've been through phase one and phase two trials. Now they have to have the phase three trials, and it costs about $200 million to run that. He doesn't have those sort of funds, but he's trying to get these trials done so that these treatments will be approved by the FDA. Believe that when I see it, but go ahead.
Well, he's not being harassed to the degree by the FDA that he was before. They're not trying to put him in jail right now. And so that phase of their campaign against him is over, believe me. And I don't downplay that campaign at all because it was a vicious campaign. But I think if this performs well in the clinical trials, and there's every reason to think it will be approved. And because I'm not the only one that thinks that. Several pharmaceutical companies have offered to buy the rights to the drug from Dr. Brzezinski and go ahead and conduct the clinical trials themselves. But he doesn't want to sell because he's convinced, and he's seen this happen to other drugs before, and so have you, Dr. Stan. He's convinced that if he sells the rights to his drug to the FDA, to a pharmaceutical company, they will deep six the drug so they can go on producing the current breed of cancer drugs that make your hair fall out, make you nauseated, and don't have all that great success against many types of cancer. They're successful against some types of cancer. But not
certainly against the majority of the solid tumors, about 60%. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, a quick story. A friend of mine, of course, has produced is working with something, a resveratrol drug. And basically, it was originally done at Harvard by Dr. David Sinclair, a research scientist at Harvard, who actually was looking into longevity, how to get people to live longer, and had started out with yeast cells. And using this resveratrol product, which, of course, comes from red grapes, and certainly, eventually, of course, they had excellent results with this, and they moved up into animals and the mice and other things. Well, eventually, of course, it looked like this was going to be one of the great breakthroughs of all time. And so, basically, GlaxoSmithKline $120 million for this truly miraculous drug. Now, of course, I have a friend who's actually producing this today under a different name, and he's added a couple of things to it and had amazing results from it. But that's, of course, Bill Sardi. But GlaxoSmithKline paid $720 million for this resveratrol rights for the material, the research. And then after 6 months, they just cut off all research, and they're not going to do anything more. Well, they were intentionally using doses that were far too high. They knew that they were not going to be effective. But, ladies and gentlemen, they invested $720 million, in my estimation, to kill a drug. Would anybody in their right mind do that? Yes, of course. Dealing with $20 or $30 billion of profits, if you can keep a good drug off the market and sell your drugs that really don't work. And I think that's why Dr. Baczynski very wisely has said he's not going to sell his drug to a company because he doesn't trust them, and neither do I. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Have a question or comment. This is an important, important subject.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land.
Tom, you go right ahead.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the other contrasts between Dr. Brzezinski's treatment and the standard treatments. There is, for instance, let's put it this way. Dr. Brzezinski's drug has had no serious side effects on any of the patients that he's used it on, any of them, over a period of more than 30 years. Yes, if you're on his treatment, you're going to urinate more because you're going to be having a lot more fluid in you. And yes, as your tumors break down, if you have a cancer tumor and it begins to break down, you will have a fever. That's a side effect of the tumor breaking down. But the side effects of the cancer drugs are just incredible. You have pneumonia as a common side effect. You have all kinds of conditions. And now there's a new study from Stanford University that's just about 3 months old that was actually reported in the peer-reviewed Journal of Clinical Oncology, where the Stanford scientists have found that pharmaceutical companies and doctors are consistently underreporting the side effect of heart damage from cancer drugs that puts patients at an increased risk of heart failure. They say that reforms are urgently needed in medicine to standardize the measurements of the toxicity of cancer drugs during clinical trials in order to prevent publication of misleading results. And misleading results have appeared in the most prestigious scientific journals such as The Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine. Here's what Dr. Ronald Wittels, assistant professor of cardiovascular medicine at Stanford, says. He says it's a major issue when adverse events aren't being counted in clinical trials. And this has led to a profound underappreciation of the risk of heart failure and other adverse cardiac events. So in other words, it's not just that these things will cause your hair to fall out and make you nauseated and make your life miserable and leave you with pneumonia and leave you with all kinds, with a number of other potential disabilities. Same things don't always happen to everybody. Different people react in different ways to these drugs. But what these Stanford researchers are saying is that the pharmaceutical companies that are testing the drugs deliberately ignore some of the most serious side effects of the drugs they're testing. And that's just absolutely shameful. It's another reason to think about other treatments other than the standard ones when and if you have cancer.
I agree with all that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly our guest is Tom Elias. Tom is simply talking about all the complications that come with the standard cancer treatments. And many of these cancer treatments, the chemotherapy, radiation, but the chemotherapy specifically, it damages the heart. It's a toxin. It damages so many of the tissues in the body. But, of course, people are dying. They're willing to do anything to help. And the trouble is, if you look at the long-term statistics on most of these patients with the solid tumors, now not the lymphomas, leukemias, things like that. They sometimes will do fairly well with the radiation chemotherapy, but the regular treatments, I mean, you're talking infinitesimal, if any, help of 5-year survivals. I mean, they're just miserable, and they know that, but they don't know what else to do. The average doctor does. He's never heard of Baczynski's treatments or many of the other treatments that have been used in the past and have been actively suppressed in America. Well, Tom, you go right ahead with the story. Incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there across America and you have a question for Tom, Tom's on the front lines of this. He certainly worked very, very hard through the years to get people to understand the amazing story of Dr. Brzezinski and how they wanted to send him to prison for 300 years because he had a treatment that worked. And ladies and gentlemen, they can give all the excuses they want to. Oh, we're just from the government. We're trying to help, you know. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe with all my heart and soul that this is an active effort to suppress an effective cancer treatment. And I think that there are people in the FDA who know what's going on, but they're afraid to speak out, as so many Americans today are afraid to speak out. We are to become a nation of cowards. Tom, go right ahead.
Yeah, let me do this. Now, let me talk a little bit about how this treatment works, because that's a natural question that people frequently ask me. So let's try and make the biochemistry here a little bit simple. Essentially, Dr. Brzezinski began talking to me back in the mid-90s about how his treatment is a genetic switch, how it works on the genetic level. But back in the 90s, he didn't know exactly how it worked. Well, in the late 90s, some researchers at Johns Hopkins University discovered that 65% of all cancers are associated with a malfunction of one of your genes. It's called the P53 tumor suppressor gene. Now, that's not such a mysterious thing. It just means the gene that's in position 53 on a P strand of your DNA. So it's the P53 tumor suppressor gene, and this gene is a kind of a backup to your immune system, so that if a cancer gets going and your immune system isn't dealing with it for whatever reason, this gene is supposed to trigger a response to suppress the tumor, to make the tumor die out the way that normal cells die. You know, in normal life, cells split periodically. Every cell in your body splits periodically, and one of the cells dies off and the other one lives on, and they're identical to one another in all other ways. A cancer tumor forms when this process doesn't happen, when the cells split, but both cells live on, because then they're going to split again, and those will split again and again and again, and pretty soon you have uncontrolled growth, and that's what a tumor is. A cancer tumor, otherwise known as a neoplasm, is really a matter of uncontrolled growth. So the best way to get rid of a tumor is to find something that will switch off this uncontrolled growth and switch back on the normal process that works in most of our bodies when we're healthy. And so if you can find a treatment that works only on that and ignores the healthy tissue around it, that's called a cell differentiating agent, and it's an agent that acts as a genetic switch. And that's what Dr. Brzezinski's drug is. Now, the whole idea of genetic switches has become very popular. Now, I'm holding a press release as I talk to you from Cornell University in Ithaca, New York, that says that Cornell biomedical engineers have found the natural switch between the body's inflammatory response and how malignant breast cancer cells use the bloodstream to spread. So they've discovered a natural switch that can turn off, they think it might be able to turn off malignant breast cancer metastases. In other words, keep it from spreading to other parts of your body. The only problem is that's not proven yet. This has just been done in test tubes.
Well, let me just comment that the way genes work, the genes are certainly on the strands of DNA, and these genes either turn on or off. If they turn on, They produce molecules. If they turn off, why, they don't produce the molecules. That molecule could be a hormone, could be an enzyme, could be all sorts of things. But the genes seem to work like little switches. And these are certain genes, switches, that, of course, can turn on or turn off cancers. Go right ahead.
Right. And the most common way that these that genes are turned off and on is a process called methylation and hypermethylation. That is to say, there are methyl groups in foods we eat and naturally occurring in your body. And when these when methyl groups, the chemicals, blanket a gene, they will smother it and they'll keep it from working. And that's what happens to the P53 tumor suppressor gene, it turns out. When in 65% of the people that have cancer, the researchers at Hopkins discovered this back in 1999, and they weren't connected with Brzezinski at all. They discovered that in 65% of cancers, the P53 tumor suppressor gene is hypermethylated, meaning it's covered with methyl. Well, back in his days at Baylor, when Brzezinski was researching the drug in the test tube, he had discovered that his compounds interact with methyl groups and they wash them away. They put them in solution and they wash them away. In the human body, when that happens, it means that the P53 tumor suppressor gene gets demethylated. The methyl groups disappear. They're washed away in the bloodstream. They come out in your urine. So when it doesn't happen that way, that's when you get a cancer. And so that's how the drug works. It's a genetic switch, which is accomplished by getting rid of the methyl groups that are blanketing the tumor suppressor gene that doesn't work.
Okay, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And other researchers are finding out now and discovering why Dr. Brzezinski's treatment works. But it's Dr. Brzezinski's treatment does work. And certainly, I know Tom has talked to a lot of the people who've had their lives saved because of Dr. Brzezinski's treatment. But, of course, this does not, everything is being done to discourage its use. Certainly, Dr. Brzezinski is constantly disparaged by medical organizations and certainly by pharmaceutical organizations. And the FDA would try to shut him down so many times. But I'm sure the people in the FDA know that treatment works. But, of course, they do what they're told to do, and you have a government job, ladies and gentlemen. You don't fight the system. If you do, you're out of work, and they will blacklist you, so you'll never get a job again.
Go right ahead. Dr. Stan, you know, I have proven the exact truth of what you just said. I have proven in my book, and you'll see the documentation right there. You'll see that as early as 1991, that's 4 years before they indicted Dr. Brzezinski, the National Cancer Institute sent a team of researchers to his clinic to check the results. And they checked the results. Brzezinski, by the way, on that occasion had prepared 25 case histories for them, all the medical records and all the scans and so on, of 25 patients that he had treated successfully. And the researchers really only looked at seven because they were pretty much all the same, the results they were seeing, and they decided there was no reason to look at more than seven. And this team was led by Dr. Nicholas Patsouris, who is currently a professor at Georgetown University Medical School in Washington, D.C. But he went back and he reported in writing to the National Cancer Institute that this stuff works. And at following up on that site visit by the NCI team, the number two official in the National Cancer Institute at the time, his name was Dr. Michael Friedman, he wrote a memo to a couple of his colleagues, a copy of which I obtained during the time that Dr. Brzezinski was put on trial, and a lot of these documents were subpoenaed. This letter from Dr. Michael Friedman says the human brain tumor results are real. We need to develop this drug. Well, Dr. Michael Friedman moved from the National Cancer Institute a couple of years later to become the Deputy Commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration. And that's where he supervised the prosecution of Dr. Brzezinski. So anyone who doesn't think there was a plot, guess again. Dr. Michael Friedman has now left the Food and Drug Administration several years ago. He's now the president of the City of Hope National Medical Center in Duarte, California, where you constantly hear commercials from them if you live in Southern California. You constantly hear their commercials on the radio about their advanced treatments of cancer and what a wonderful place it is. And then every time I hear those, I'm thinking to myself, this place is run by the man who deliberately tried to suppress, deliberately tried to squelch, as I put it in the subtitle of my book, the most promising cancer treatment ever developed. And he now has a very high-paying job. He's paid over $500,000 a year as the president of the City of Hope. And that's just a joke, in my opinion. It's you know, if anybody ever asks you to donate to the City of Hope, remember Dr. Michael Friedman and say no. That's my advice.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Do you honestly think that anybody would actively suppress a treatment for this terrible disease called cancer? An effective treatment that has had such remarkable results. What are actually the results of the treatment of cancer of the pancreas? Do you recall? Because I've lost so many of my friends.
Yes, I do. Dr. Brzezinski, when he was working only with his antineoplastins, he couldn't treat pancreatic cancer very effectively. But in the last few years, he's begun to combine the what he's begun to do. When you go to his clinic, the first thing that will happen to you is that you will be given a blood test, and the blood test will be sent off to a lab that puts together your genome. And then your particular genetic makeup will be matched with a large number of mild chemotherapy agents that are FDA approved, and these agents will be combined in smaller doses with Dr. Brzezinski's own antineoplastins, and using that combination of therapy, he's using agents that enhance each other's action instead of fighting each other. He has managed to achieve about a 35% to 40% 5-year survival rate for pancreatic cancer. And that's only over the last 3-4 years. And it's a terrible thing the way people are discouraged from going to Dr. Brzezinski. The medical establishment still calls Brzezinski a fraud. Now, you look at the case histories in my book. For instance, you look at the history of a little girl by the name of Tori Moreno, except she's not such a little girl anymore. Back in 1998, when her parents took her to see Brzezinski for the first time, she was 3 weeks old. She's the youngest patient he's ever treated. And she had a brainstem glioma, which her parents noticed because her eyes looked strange. And they took her to Memorial Medical Center in Long Beach, California. And the doctors there told the parents, take this little girl home and let her die. The parents were both deputy sheriffs, and so they knew how to do CPR. And they were told, don't do CPR on this little girl, and because you'll just extend her life a little bit and make her have more misery. Well, the parents didn't listen to that. They found my book. They made some phone calls to some other patients to whom I referred them, and parents of other children who had been to see Dr. Brzezinski, and they finally took little baby Tori Moreno down to Houston to see Dr. Brzezinski. And the upshot is that within 3 months, her brain tumor was gone. She's now 15 years old, 15 years old, and a very healthy teenage girl. I saw her as recently as 6 months ago. When I was putting together the second edition of my book in the year 2000, and I called the doctor who had referred Tori to go home and advise her parents not to do CPR, I asked this doctor what he would say if I told him that Tori Moreno was alive and well. And he said to me, "I don't deal in fiction," and he hung up the phone. In other words, they don't even want to listen.
I know. Well,
when they're wrong.
they
lie all the time.
I know. It's a tragic situation, ladies and gentlemen. People are dying unnecessarily. This is an excellent book. I've read it, certainly. We carry the book. We've interviewed Dr. Pacinski and others. And you certainly want to get the book. You want to get the 4 tape sets. You want to understand there are effective treatments out there that are being actively suppressed. And the great tragedy is that people are dying unnecessarily from cancer today all across America. And then we have to ask ourselves, why has the incidence of cancer increased so dramatically over the last century? I do not think it was simply by accident. Let's go to Lynn, who's calling from Maryland. Lynn, do you have a question for us?
I do, and on my phone, hopefully it won't bleep out. The battery is going low. Thank you so much. I've really appreciated the show, and it's timely. There were a couple things I was thinking about. Is that a lot of the big drug companies, they get grants from NIH.
Sure, they
and
do.
Well, FCS.
Ladies, no, you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. We're talking about people making fantastic salaries there, not for what they're doing, but for what they're not doing. Hold on, Lynn. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
We want to get
your
question for for Tom Elias. But ladies and gentlemen, this is an important subject. It ties into so many of the other things we talk about. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. Lynn, go right ahead. Do you have a question for Tom?
Yes. In addition to that, I was just going to say that just earlier tonight, I was watching on C-SPAN. They had a program about communicators that was at 9 o'clock, so it's on their website. And it was from that techie fair in Vegas a couple weeks ago, and they were covering technologies to put in people like a pill that has a little, technology on it so that they could tell what you ate and that you complied with what you were told to do. And it transmitted through the smartphone back to whoever the powers that be to know that you've been behaving yourself. And then the second guest on the, it was about a 30-minute program, actually covered some cancer treatments that are really expensive. But, you know, it's like Dr. Brunetsky and the doctors from like the 70s and the 80s. I mean, when people treated patients that got well, I mean, I know at least one doctor in my area who was confined to a mental hospital for that.
I mean, for treating patients that got well.
The
thing is, it's so incredible. Most people would say it couldn't be true. I hope you'll get the information out. We're going to have to let you go because we're out of time.
All right, well, thank you so much for sharing it because it was a great show.
Well, thank you for calling, Lynn. I appreciate that. Thank you for listening.
Okay well, thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, fine. That was Lynn calling from Maryland. Of course, we have our listeners all across the country. You've got about a minute and a half to wrap up the program, Tom. What's the message you'd like to leave
our
listeners?
Well, the basic message is that in my book, I tell you all about Dr. Brzezinski. I tell you how his drug works. I completely debunk the arguments that have been made against it in serious medical journals. I tell you quite a number of case histories. I tell you where the drug is going, and it has already gone a little bit that way since the book is out. But the bottom line is, with all that information, this is something that anybody who has a loved one or a friend that has cancer, they need to know this. Because if the standard treatments don't work, this has a good shot.
Okay,
and for certain kinds of cancer, it's your absolute best shot.
Tom, would you have any time tomorrow? We could pre-record that Saturday program.
I think we did that a few days ago, Dr. Stan.
Did we record the Saturday program?
I believe we did last Thursday.
Okay, fine. Well, okay, then I must be getting
Call me in the morning if it's not true.
All right, fine. I will do it. Anyway, God bless. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Okay. Pleasure to be with you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest has been Tom Elias, and certainly his book, The Brzezinski Breakthrough, and actually we carry the book. We think it's a very important book. And then, of course, we have my four tape set, and it's called Dr. Brzezinski, and of course, it may be available on CD. I'm not certain. You're going to have to call our 800 number to find out. 800-544-8927. But we recommend the book. We recommend our four tape set. And then, of course, we have another book on cancer. It's called Cancer Out of the Box, Cancer Out of the Box, going into all the other cancer treatments which have been actively suppressed. How do we make any sense out of this? Well, you can't make any sense out of it unless, of course, you hear my talk on population control, the covert agenda, or my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan. And we actually take you to Elberton, Georgia, where you can see the Georgia Guidestones erected by a secret society that call for the execution and elimination of over 90% of the world's population. It's there in four different languages. You're never going to hear this discussed, certainly, on the regular media. The last thing they want you to know is there are really people out there who want to kill you and your family because there are too many people in the world. And Chris, basically, my fear is that there's going to be either an EPA attack or nuclear war or something of that sort. And of course, we know from the scriptures there are going to be famines and there's going to be disease and there's going to be the destruction of the people by the sword and by fire, and you're going to be, and of course that sounds very much like a nuclear attack. If you read the Revelation, if you read certainly Revelation 6:8, read it and understand there really are people who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world. And then, of course, you need to read the writings of Barbara Marx Hubbard. I quote them in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, where she talks about Revelation 6:8 in her book, on the Revelation. And of course, basically she says, you know, a quarter of the population is going to have to be killed. A quarter of the population is going to have to be killed. But that is not your job, my dear. That is ours. For we are the riders of the Pale Horse Death. Barbara Marx Hubbard, consultant to Special Forces team, a government employee and consultant in the past, the leader of the New Age movement, a woman, a dedicated follower, in my estimation, of Lucifer, and of this whole idea of reconstructing the world. If you aren't involved in what's going on, ladies and gentlemen, you should be, because we have an obligation to be on the front lines shouting out what's going on. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We hope you'll support Radio Liberty. If you're in a position to actually get a case of my books, and you can do that by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. You get 64 of them. Why, of course, it's $149.95 suggested gift. And then, of course, we hope that you'll give the books away, you'll sell the books, you'll lend the books. People have to understand the spiritual forces that are behind what's going on today, because if you look at what's going on, so much of it just doesn't make sense. Why would we go over and certainly overthrow the government of Egypt and things are far worse off than they were before? And instead of having a secular society and a 10% Egyptian Christian population, now, of course, we have a Muslim society. The Christians have been driven out and the people are miserable. Why would we have done that? The total breakdown of society since we went in and saw Mr. Morsi, who incidentally was trained at USC, University of Southern California, just like the army officer that is leading the rebellion in Mali in Africa today. And, of course, our troops are going in there to try to restore order, and French are going in. We're supporting air support, but we're sending our troops to 35 nations in Africa. Why are we sending troops to 35 nations in Africa? So we can replace the existing governments with ones who go along with this one world government. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. It's this idea of installing a one world government and eventually the rule of the one world government will be the Antichrist. When you understand that, everything going on makes sense. Our number 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com, where you can listen to us 24 hours a day. Radioliberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 28 January. It is Monday, and it's 2013. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for wanting to know more so you can teach more. That's what it's all about. I cannot imagine anything any more important than talking to others, sharing with them what you believe and you see is happening down to the very core. And I mean the very core of what all these rules, regulations, and laws are all about. It's about controlling you. It's about controlling you. And if you haven't seen the evidence of that recently, then either you're not looking or you don't want to see it because it's there. We're going to be talking today to Dr. Orly Tates in the second hour. Dr. Tates has been probably the most aggressive person standing for her beliefs that the president is not electable, that he was not qualified to be elected as president.